Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Wednesday night and thrilled to be here on Hump Day.
Hump Day.
Happy that we are reaching more people.
On Hump
Still
Day.
Having a chance to talk about the things that all matter to tech and innovation in Pittsburgh.
That's right.
I'm sort of grateful for it. I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk about this stuff.
It's fun.
It's not just fun. I'm just, you know, these are things that many people just don't talk about, can't talk about, might wonder about.
Right.
And don't know about.
I hear you. All the way around.
It's sort of cool.
It's a fun platform.
It is a fun platform.
And we've been doing this for like 12 years now.
11 years.
12 years.
Pushing it.
12.
12 in October.
That's right, man.
Jeez.
I'm just saying. Just saying. It's been like that. I think it's kind of awesome. And especially moving over to a Wednesday night.
I know. So just sit tight. Keep your seatbelt on because we got a great show.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to start talking about.
You've been reading a lot, Audrey.
Recently.
Exactly.
That the city, many of you might not realize, but there's a lot of work that goes on in economic development, tech-based economic development, and just lots of ways over the last 30-plus years of leadership at our government level in Harrisburg to many of our philanthropic organizations have really tried to push and be supportive of developing innovation and entrepreneurship. And it's a tricky business. It's a really tricky business because on the one hand, you've got a lot of money that's going to the universities that are doing incredible research, and the university's doing some work trying to get that research out to the street called commercialization.
And sometimes you feel like we rely too much on the universities.
The universities, as you and I know, we get a chance to interview.
Because they're doing awesome
faculty.
Work, but
they're doing
I feel,
amazing work.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, oh, they'll solve the problem. It's like,
right.
Well, a little bit of it. But
it goes on behind closed doors very often. And many regular people like you and I and people who are listening don't exactly know what's going on and just know that there probably is some great research occurring. But how is that changing the world? So one of the things that Pittsburgh is confronted with is that while we think we're great, while we think that we are sort of on the map and tech is booming and all these interesting things are happening, there might be some things that we need to peel back a little bit.
Definitely.
And so the Brookings Institute, which is a research organization that actually does a lot of research in a lot of different market sectors, including economic development, tech-based economic development, has put out their second sort of shorter finding. They put out a report a couple of years ago. And their second finding talking about how's it going? How's it going in Pennsylvania when compared to other states?
So this is the whole state, not just the Pittsburgh region.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But they siloed Philly and
of course.
Pittsburgh.
So it's like Philly, Pittsburgh, and then everything else in between?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. But really talking about, and then they focus on the state of Pennsylvania, how we're doing in terms of innovation, and then they drilled down into the more densely populated areas.
Are we kicking Philadelphia's butt?
No, we're not. Damn. We're not kicking Philadelphia's butt when it comes to life sciences.
That's their strength. That's what
they have done an incredible job. Incredible job. Life Sciences PA has done an incredible job. But really what happened is, and Chris Molyneux, who runs Life Sciences PA, recently wrote a little, you know, sort of like a little blog or a couple of paragraphs about why it's so great there. So if any of you are interested, go to Life Sciences PA and you can find it. Essentially what happened is that a lot of execs that were in the pharma industry, that whether those companies either fell apart or they restructured, actually started to put their money into innovation and life sciences right on that Philadelphia,
right on that,
New Jersey
right, exactly, right in that corridor
area.
There. Yep.
And the proliferation of life sciences and commercialization is just astounding there. And I mean, it's not necessarily San Diego, but it's definitely like I would say a third right behind Boston
right.
and San Diego. So you take – so the report talks a little bit about that, but it talks about how state money is needed to help spawn further innovation. So my only question on that is that we've spent 30 to 40 years using some taxpayer dollars to try to spawn innovation to help companies grow. And my question would be, what evidence do we have that those that has helped?
It made a difference.
It really made a difference.
Right.
So, you know, we get an amazing opportunity to talk to companies. And some of the companies we talk to have taken money, economic development dollars, and then they pay them back when they have bigger exits or, you know, they have different milestones and they pay them back. But the question is, why are we doing the same thing over and over again when we're still wrestling with Pittsburgh? We think we're doing some great things. The data tells us differently. So why take that same hammer and that same nail and look to state government as the be-all and end-all for trying to help spawn innovation and entrepreneurship? So I raise that question because I think we need to look differently. It's a global world. People
and
want
so much
to
has changed.
Live.
And things are changing so much more rapidly
but
now, too.
People can live anywhere. They can work anywhere.
Absolutely.
So the question is, how does that help? Particularly Pittsburgh. How does that government money particularly help Pittsburgh would be my question. And I would hope that we would have some evidence that says this is how that money has helped over all these years.
Makes sense.
And this is
right.
why we need to continue to do that. That's all I want to hear.
I hear you.
And, you know, we're going through a point in time where people are looking for not just a place to live, but a place where they can have an impact. And so the question is, what are we doing to nurture that? And maybe nurturing that will help us with developing further entrepreneurs across all walks of life. And maybe we'll make a change there.
That's some interesting insight. I like the way you're thinking about that because it's getting ourselves out of that mold of what we think has worked for so long.
Right, and pay attention that the companies that are really, really thriving here outside of Duolingo are the companies that are building stuff. You know, they're in autonomy.
Yep. There's like actual
they're
product
in
there.
AI. Mm-hmm. They're in making stuff. They're in things that you can touch and feel. And believe it or not, that's our strength. That's our legacy.
Absolutely.
So I think that my point in this discussion is to look for this Brookings Institute report. Think about what makes sense. Raise your voice and your opinion. And let people know. We at the Tech Council are just trying to make sure that we're looking at all options and not getting so provincial in terms of how we think certain things work. And in order to be open and to build an ecosystem of people who want to live here and want to build things here and want to raise their families here or retire here, whatever it may be, we have to look at a new world. And the new world means that we have to be diverse, we have to have a sense of place. We got to have access to transportation.
It's the whole enchilada.
And it's the whole thing.
It's
not just
thing.
One slice.
Exactly.
So while I love our work and I love the work of so many in this region, I say now's the time to think a little differently.
I like the way you're thinking. I like the way you're thinking. So Audrey, on tonight's show, we have our second part from our Healthcare Reinvented with Dr. Susan Monza. Really excited. I interviewed her a few weeks ago as part of our Reinventing Healthcare podcast series, and she's from the Autoimmune Institute doing some really cool work over there. I can't wait for our listeners to hear this interview. And we also have John Brescia from Vertix stopping by to talk about the Elevation Hackathon that's coming up in October. And, of course, Locomation is stopping by tonight. Very exciting company. Just like one of the companies you're talking about here, that's they're in Pittsburgh changing lives, and they're hiring people, and it's just an exciting story to hear about what's going on with Locomation. And like Audrey, get to have way too much fun hanging out with you here, exploring these stories that are really making Pittsburgh move forward. So anyhow, keep your dial tuned right here to Tech5 Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
Welcome back. You are listening to Tech Vibe Radio here on KDKA, the best way to spend your Wednesday night, especially with our next guest we have now. I tell you what, we've been so pumped up at Tech Vibe Radio and the Pittsburgh Technology Council because we've been partnering with Allegheny Health Network and Highmark on our Healthcare Reinvented series. Really cool podcast series. If you go over to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, you name Spotify, all the major platforms, you can find the really cool content we've been putting out with Highmark around reinventing healthcare. There's no other way to put it because there's some fantastic work that's been going on, that is going on, will continue to go on with Allegheny Health Network that we're putting a spotlight on. And our most recent podcast with Dr. Susan Manzi, she leads up the AHN's Autoimmunity Institute. And it's just such fantastic work. I almost don't know where to even start with it all because there's so much that's going on. But she's just a whirlwind and just a joy to talk to. And I'm so glad to have her here on the show. So, Dr. Manzi, thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So first and foremost, autoimmune diseases are crazy, evil, weird, and nasty. I can't think of any other words to describe them, and they afflict a lot of people. Give our listeners a baseline. What exactly is an autoimmune disease, and how many people do they affect in the United States?
So autoimmune diseases are common. They impact an estimated 50 million people in the United States, and there's over 100 different autoimmune diseases. And it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
If you think of your immune system, it's there to protect you against anything that doesn't belong in your body. And in virus and bacteria, it sees it, fights it, gets rid of it.
Right.
For reasons we're trying to understand, we don't fully understand, in autoimmunity, your immune system starts to target you, starts to attack you and your own organs. So we call them diseases of self-sabotage.
Self-sabotage. It's so evil. It's terrible because it creates such problems for people and death sometimes too.
Absolutely.
And it's crazy stuff. But what I was excited to know about is the fact that the Autoimmunity Institute exists. It is unique, not just in Pittsburgh, not just in the country, but in the world.
Absolutely.
And you lead the thing up.
Well, yes, with my colleagues, particularly Dr. Joseph Ahern, who's mm-hmm. the chair of the Institute. But yes, AHN and Highmark recognized how common autoimmune diseases are and that they're potentially fatal. They tend to impact women more than men,
right.
Young people. There's no cure. They're very hard to diagnose and hard to treat. That's a lot of bad things. And so they recognize that the way to do it is to help patients navigate the healthcare system because most people with autoimmune diseases need a team of specialists.
Absolutely.
They need heart specialists and lung specialists and kidney specialists. And most of the time when they have a disease, they're trying to navigate the healthcare system. They're going all over the place. Their doctors aren't talking to each other. So we said no more of that. So we opened this first of its kind in the world, Autoimmunity Institute, where we've brought all of these specialists together under one roof. We have 15 different specialties of medicine practicing together so that patients go one stop and they get to see all their specialists together in one location. There's better communication, better treatment, earlier diagnosis.
It seems so simple, and it is, but so powerful because time is of the essence on so much of this, and being able to keep people's lives not complicated by, you said, having to see four or five different doctors that are in four or five different offices. Like it becomes absolutely nuts, and you're taking the nuttiness out of it, which I think to put it in its most simplest way, right?
Absolutely. And not only are they seeing all of these physician specialists, but we also have behavioral health specialists to help with depression and anxiety, pharmacists to help with, soaring drug costs. People can't
right.
afford their
you
medications.
People in there, they're diagnosed, you take some medication, I can't afford it.
Absolutely.
So what good is it? But you bring someone and say, no, you can afford this. We'll make
Absolutely.
Sure you get this medicine.
We get them hooked up in programs which can make their drugs affordable. We have social workers that help with all kinds of issues related to, housing insecurity, food insecurity. And we have dietitians that even help with other alternative interventions. So it's all about the patient when you come to our institute. And we work together and we what we call team-based care, all focused on the patients.
Very much so. So in our podcast recording, it just blew my mind. And I remind people that if you just go on over to iTunes and check out Tech Vibe Radio, you will find the Allegheny Health Network Reinventing Healthcare podcast series there. In that podcast, you mentioned that you're really drawing people from across the country, Hawaii and Alaska. People are making a trip to Pittsburgh because of your institute.
Absolutely.
That is really saying something.
I mean, it's been so fulfilling for me because we've only been open for about less than 18 months, and we've attracted people from 29 states already. They come for a variety of reasons. One is for an accurate diagnosis. They're tough to diagnose, many of these diseases, or for our consultation regarding best treatment. We also do research, so we can provide access to the latest drugs and medications for many of these diseases, and we've got physicians with expertise.
Very cool stuff. I want to learn a little bit more about your background and your passion, and I'm talking to you here, and I can see the passion coming out of you, how much you care about your patients and care about people's lives and their health, and putting this institute together seems like it's this culmination of a lot of work you've done over the years. And what I was really surprised about in our podcast interview is you're from Crabtree.
I am. Right outside Crabtree, Pennsylvania.
Right outside of Latrobe.
Yeah, right next to Latrobe. For those of you that are from Latrobe, you'll know that I'm from that area. But yeah, it's a small coal mining town, and love Pittsburgh, and have spent 25 years of my career focused on autoimmunity because I think it's just something we should cure. There's too many people impacted by these diseases, and not a lot of people understand them or know much about them. So this is a culmination of my career, and I'm so grateful to Highmark and AHN for making
it happen. I mean, I love the fact that it's how many years later, and you're back to where you came from, and we're glad that you're here doing what you do as far as that goes. The one thing I think that's really interesting about the Institute is the fact that it's all about communication. You were talking to me before that there's like a huddle space so the doctors all talk to each other because that's where the solutions come together. It's the pharmacists, the nurses, and the doctors all being able to easily communicate and talk about what's going on with their patients so they can find the best remedies and solutions.
Absolutely. The design of the space, not only the concept of what we're doing is reinventing medicine, as you've said, but the design of the space is very novel. So we have all of the physicians and nurses and behavioral health specialists, pharmacists, all practicing without any walls between them in something we call the huddle hall. And that's where the brain power is.
That's where the magic happens.
That's where we talk to each other. We decide on diagnoses. We communicate back and forth. And it's helps patients tremendously because they don't have to be the one telling one doctor or the other doctor what one doctor said. So it's the space is conducive for the model of the care that we provide.
Super cool.
It's really, really fun. You got to come by and see it. And the one thing I didn't mention earlier, I have to, is that a lot of the artwork in the Autoimmunity Institute was donated by a local Pittsburgh photographer, Richard Kelly, and you have to come and see it.
Yeah, we know Richard Kelly. Absolutely.
You do?
Yeah, very cool.
He's donated all the photography. It's so cool. And we have one of the halls is race car driving, and our motto is auto racing for autoimmunity.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, and we're racing to a cure. That's our
– Definitely. We got about a minute or so left. There's a really cool event coming up on 9/28 that we got to talk about. Just let people know if they want to learn more about autoimmune diseases. I mean, literally the event, what every American needs to know about autoimmune diseases. Doesn't get more basic than that. Having a 9/28 at your institute. Give us a couple more details on that.
Yeah, so we really welcome everyone to come. It's for family members. It's for patients. We have a great lineup of speakers that talk about women that are impacted and good nutrition and everything you ever wanted to know about autoimmune diseases. It's on September 28th from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And it's actually in our Autoimmunity Institute, so you can come and tour.
See all the pictures.
Yeah, you can see Richard Kelly's pictures and see the new innovative model of care and how we set it up. And we'd love to have you come.
Dr. Monza, I love it. Thank you so much. Once again, only in Pittsburgh can great stuff like this happen. So glad we put a spotlight on it today.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Hey, we're taking a quick break. We're coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio, I swear. This is Jonathan Kirsting from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org and then fly on over to Twitter at pghtech. Thanks for listening to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting with the Pittsburgh Technology Council coming at you from the Huntington Bank Podcast Studio. And really excited about a trade mission that's coming up here. The Pittsburgh Technology Council, we're working with the Department for International Trade and British Airways to take a group of really cool startup entrepreneurs over to England. And not just England, but London and some great cities to really see the opportunities that are going on there and how it is just an awesome place to really launch your company internationally. And so today we're talking to Ross Allen. And Ross is the Director of North America for the Department of International Trade, also Deputy Consul General. You've got quite the title going on there, Ross.
I do, Jonathan. It's a bit of a mouthful. So happy to explain some of what that means in
exactly.
practice and what I actually do.
You might have one of the longer titles that anyone have ever interviewed. And so it's great to have you here on the show. And so once again, tell us about yourself real quick. What's your background and what exactly do you do with the Department of International Trade?
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So I work for the British government. That's the most important thing.
Of course.
And we operate out here in the US. We help British companies export in this direction.
Yep.
And we encourage inward investment into the UK
right.
from the US and from Canada. And I'm really excited to be here in Pittsburgh to come and talk to you, meet some of the companies later. And we're really excited about this trade mission. It's
Very
been a competitive
so.
Process, and we can't wait to get them over to the UK and to see what we have to offer in the UK.
It's happening October 6th through the 11th. And we're just really pumped up at the council about this because for us, we love expanding opportunities for our member companies and just for tech in general here in Pittsburgh. And we were one of the biggest proponents of the new British Airways flight, the nonstop on the Dreamliner that really it makes getting to London so quick and so easy right now. And so with British Airways partnering with us on this, we think it's just fantastic to really showcase this awesome flight that's making this connection happen. And then, of course, getting down to business when we're over there as far as that goes. So I could say hats off to our friends over at British Airways for making that investment here in Pittsburgh. And we're just pumped about it.
Yeah, we're really pleased. We do quite a lot with BA, as you'd expect, around the world. And it's fantastic that they're opening up new routes here in Pittsburgh and a few other locations in the US. And we're all about that international connectivity. People who do business want to have that direct flight. We've heard from British Airways. They're really pleased with the way the route's going.
Good.
So it's fantastic. I think the numbers are good. And we're really looking forward to having the trade mission come and benefit from that flight.
Definitely. So let's get down and talk a little bit about the trade mission itself, just some of the nuts and bolts about it. So we said before, it's October 6th through the 11th, and we have 10 startup companies that are coming along on this trip. And it's really from a cross-section of what's happening here in Pittsburgh's tech sector. I mean, we have some life science-type companies. We have some pure tech companies. Like, I'm excited to have this kind of mix and assortment of folks kind of coming across and getting that firsthand tour and look at all the assets and resources happening over in England.
Yeah, it's great to have such a diverse group, actually. And for us, it's been a challenge over the last few years. Like we try to sort of divide things up a bit and have people
okay.
specialize in different areas. But
right.
tech is one of those sort of cross-cutting things that can be a bit of a challenge. Say, is this
definitely.
If it's life sciences, is it still a tech company? Is it a life sciences company?
It gets very blurry sometimes.
Don't, you know, we don't mind. We want them all to come and see, you know, the breadth of what the UK has to offer as
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
We're really pleased with the way that the sort of tech scene's going in the UK. We've had record levels of investment this year mm-hmm. into our UK tech companies and particularly into our startups. They're also it's really good, I think, that we're going to get them sort of outside London. So lots of companies.
That's what got me pumped up.
Think about London first.
Exactly. But, I mean, yeah. I love London. I've been there the one time when we were lobbying for the flight, and I was just mesmerized. I'm like, man, if I could pick up stakes and go anywhere, it might be London. But the idea of getting people outside of London to see what's across England. So yeah. we're talking about Bristol. What are some of the other cities that you're going to be taking folks to?
Not even just England.
Yeah.
They're going to be into Wales. They're going to okay. Cardiff in Wales.
Ah, okay. Very cool.
I'm a Londoner, so I love
right.
London as much as anyone else. But I'm very pleased that we can sort of showcase the best of our country.
Definitely.
We couldn't get them up to Scotland, but they are going to visit Scotland House and
okay.
talk to some people
enough.
Who
Close
help
enough.
Promote Scotland.
Right.
But we're also going to get them sort of west and northwest. So they're going to go to Bristol. They're going to go to Manchester. London and Cardiff, and I think that will give them in the time we have available a really good overview. And also I don't want your listeners to forget, like, this is not a huge geographic area
right.
when you think about the US.
Exactly.
You, everywhere they're going, I think you could probably fit into Pennsylvania.
Right.
So
it's nothing more than a couple hour train ride
exactly.
at most to get
yeah.
somewhere, right?
I mean, growing up I thought some of these journeys were long.
Okay.
And when I moved to the States I was like, oh, hang on, like, this is actual continental sized geography.
Exactly.
So it's quite a small area, but there's a ton of stuff going on. We're very proud of our universities, which are churning out fantastic graduates. Very proud of the
Definitely.
Talent that we have in the UK and in our tech scene.
Definitely.
And just can't wait for your companies and the companies from this area to see all that and make connections. And we're not shy about this. Our ulterior motive is we want them to, at some point, make the UK their sort of next international or their first sort of international base.
And what a cool way
to grow here and then go to the UK.
Exactly. And I always say that if you're a company and you're looking to expand and you need a global, you know, presence and you need to be in Europe, why not be in England to do that? I just think there's so many reasons just from a cultural standpoint and just from a language barrier standpoint where it's like you're doing business there. I think it's so much easier to maneuver and get around and make things happen and have proximity to a huge population and marketplace.
Absolutely. So it sounds like I'm preaching to converted, which I always enjoy.
I am converted. I'm wearing the bow tie today. So, you see it?
Yeah. Yes. So for your listeners, I need to describe Jonathan's bow tie,
yes.
Which is a thing of beauty. It is a perfectly formed Union flag or Union Jack bow tie, which
absolutely.
I think he's put on specially in
I
our
did.
Honor.
I did.
And it's like, I'm going to get myself one as soon as I can.
I'll show you the link where to get it. They're only $9. I couldn't believe how cheap they were. But, man, it is a classy bow tie, and I was astounded and excited to wear it.
But so I love the bow tie. And then coming back to your point around the UK, I mean I think that the reasons for going to the UK are very, very compelling. And you can see that in the numbers in terms of
give us some good data, some good numbers here.
So in terms of like the number of we are measured on how we do as a team out here, my colleagues, and the number of investment projects we land in the UK.
Gotcha.
And I think in the last year, as we define it, the tech sector was about 130 projects just from North America, which is absolutely fantastic. And it's an increasing proportion of the overall level of investment. And American tech companies are, I think, very, very convinced by what the UK has to offer. I think it's a combination of things. A couple of them you mentioned. So language is one, ease of doing business. Like Forbes ranks the UK as one of the easiest places in the world to do business. Setting up a company there is easy. The legal system is straightforward to navigate for businesses. They like doing business in with sort of British common law type system.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even things like labor laws are the closest thing that you're going to find to what companies are used to here in the US and the UK. It's not exactly the same, but it's pretty similar. Connectivity as well, as you said, like if you take that direct flight to London from there, you can then get wherever you need around the UK.
And it's not just a great flight. It's an awesome flight because you're on a Dreamliner. It's like first class all the way, even when you're riding coach. Just saying.
But I'm not taking the Pittsburgh flight myself, but I think I know what you mean. I mean, it's a fantastic environment to be in. From a tech point of view, I was really interested. Yeah. I was chatting to the people from British Airways about some of the work they're doing to sort of change the way their flights operate.
Okay.
And things like the amount they're spending on new aircraft, but also things like more sustainable jet fuels that they're working on. I know this is a big thing in Pittsburgh, but it's pilotless driverless buses to get people to and from the aircraft.
Cool.
They've got remote-controlled sort of devices that push the planes back. This is all about making their operations smoother, and they're using biometrics to get people boarded quicker.
Yeah.
That's
exciting.
They boarded a whole plane in Orlando in 10 minutes using biometrics and things like that. So
that's like a game changer
No one likes hanging around at the airport that much or just standing in line. I have young kids. You want to
get on in office as soon as possible.
Get the iPad on with some Peppa Pig or something and get them calmed down. You don't want to be standing in a long line.
No, you don't.
I think they're looking at the whole experience and how they can make it painless and it may be even enjoyable as possible.
Very, very cool stuff. Let's talk a little bit about the Brexit stuff that's going on. I know, obviously, it changes second by second, day by day, minute by minute. But it's one of those things where before we hit the record button on this, we're talking about how like tech actually is not as impacted by this because of it not being a physical product that's kind of going through. Give us some more insight onto what's happening with Brexit and what companies should be thinking about. Is that being a factor as they decide where they're going to do business?
Sure. Thanks for asking. And I think when this goes out on the radio, it may be a few days' time. So this is all subject to the caveat that these things can change.
Of course, it can always change.
And one of the I should clarify, because sometimes people ask me this question out here in the States. I work for the British government as a sort of public servant, and we work for the government of the day, no matter what their sort of political stripe. So I'm a non-political government servant. But I'm very happy to update you on what's going on. So the government, its intention is to leave the European Union on the 31st of October. And we have said that we would prefer to do that with a negotiated agreement. And there are negotiations going on with the European Union to try to achieve that result. But this government has said ultimately that's not possible, we will leave without a deal. And they've certainly stepped up the level of preparation for that and put sort of various mitigations and so on in place to try to minimize the impact of that. There is, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here, it's all in the news. There's quite a lot of sort of political upheaval associated with that. There's some complicated stuff going on within our parliamentary system, which I sometimes find difficult to explain here because there are differences.
There would be a whole show unto itself.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I don't want to start. If I start explaining how our House of Lords works compared to the House of Commons, your listeners will be switching off in droves. But there is some politics going on. But the government's clear intention is that we're leaving, as I said, preferably with a deal, but if not without a deal, at the end of October. And going back to your question specifically around tech, I would say that is the sector that has been least affected by all of this.
Yeah, so, and that was something I did not know, so I thought it was really important that we bring that up.
Yeah, so the number of investment projects there has held up really well, and I think that's, as you said, largely... Well, it's a couple of things. I think a lot of the companies that are coming over are their main driving factor is talent and where they can hire the right people, and for that, there's not Brexit has not really been a particular factor. Also, I think some of the areas that have been a bit more affected have been where there are some question marks around supply chains in the future and your physical goods moving back and forth and what the customs procedures will be.
So Ross Allen, thanks for hanging out with us today on Tech Vibe Radio. Can't thank you enough. You know, Audrey, the last time I checked, Pittsburgh is popping when it comes to all things tech, but especially robotics.
Oh.
Just saying. Yeah.
Robotics really, that's what I tell people. It's the people who are making stuff.
Exactly. People who are making things drive themselves and do fun things. Like, I don't know. That's what I was really excited to have our next guest from Locomation stop in today because there's one of the companies we need to be watching here in Pittsburgh. Like, they're just in their beginning phases, but man, they're kicking some butt, and I'm so glad to have them here.
All right. So who do we have in the house?
I'm Chetan Mirichli, co-founder and CEO of Locomation.
Thanks for stopping by today, Cheatin'. Really appreciate
it. Locomation.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
So can we imagine what that means? But you're going to tell us.
Yeah. Give us the little elevator pitch of what Locomation is all about.
Of course. Locomation is developing autonomous driving technologies for semi-trucks for the trucking industry. And our first product is an autonomous relay convoying, which means we are bundling two trucks together, and we are keeping the driver in the front truck as a supervisor, and we are making the second truck fully autonomous so that the second truck follows the leader fully autonomously.
So behind me, I will be having a truck behind me if I'm a truck driver.
But for the lead truck, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's convoys of two trucks. So the nice thing about that is it doubles your capacity, your delivery time. But still improves the driving quality and the safety of the drivers.
Because the driver in the second truck is taking a break. They're not on the clock at that time,
right?
So they can be nice and refreshed, switch the convoy around, and then they pull the other way around. So you're doubling the capacity and more than increasing the safety.
No, but this is complicated stuff.
It is.
We're making it sound like it's really
simple.
You've had to be working on this for a long time.
With Locomation, we've been working on this idea for a little bit over a year. Actually, the history of Locomation is rather recent, but myself and my co-founders and most of our technical team, we go all the way back decades in working on autonomous
vehicles. Deep experience in this
stuff. Deep experience. We come from Carnegie Mellon. We are very proud to be Carnegie Mellon alumni, Pittsburgh company. Mm-hmm. So we draw from all this immense amount of background, immense amount of expertise that's almost ingrained in the culture of the city. And we spent many, many years working on similar projects, including a convoy of trucks for military, other automated trucks for some commercial applications.
Right.
So now we are doing it with Locomation in a different context, but we are drawing from all that decades-long of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Collectively, five co-founders of Locomation pack more than 100 years of direct experience in autonomous vehicles. And because of that, we were able to move really, really fast in the right direction. And a lot of exciting things are about to happen.
For sure.
So there are people who are cynical about this, right? They say, we're not going to see this in the trucking industry. And I actually see it happening more there than I do in the passenger side.
I think the automation in trucking is going to come first before the passenger parts. That's for sure. Having said that, automating any vehicle is a very, very complicated problem. I think the entire industry, even the technical people in the industry have been underestimating and have been too optimistic about the timelines.
Yeah, how and, fast it's going to actually happen. Right. That's why I love the fact your solution, it has someone that's there, right? But they're getting the benefits of these features. So
exactly.
Yeah.
We are mixing.
So we can get it on, we can start seeing benefits of it now, not 10 years from now.
Absolutely,
or 5 years
absolutely. Locomotion is going to go full commercial in 2 years or so. In 2021 calendar year, we are aiming to start deploying our very first commercial units.
Very cool.
And that's precisely because we are not eliminating the humans. We are actually mixing and matching the best of both worlds. We are putting
substantial amount of
autonomy, but we are keeping the human eyes, the human common sense in the loop.
And I need to tell our listeners, go to locomotion.ai because their site is so cool. You can really quickly see what they're doing, like literally the visuals of these two trucks going down the road, like piggybacking each other, convoying. I think it shows you how this is going to work and how it is working. And to me, it's just so exciting.
So what is a typical day like for you?
That's a very loaded question.
I know. You like that too?
It really changes. I mean, as the CEO of the company,
right.
I am at some level in charge of everything.
Right.
So, but I'm also coming from a technical background, so my heart is still in the deep technology.
Exactly.
I spent a good 20 years of my life in the
technology. Just 2 decades doing the tech
side. So you're not balancing the checkbook.
But in the in the life cycle of a company, one has to make sure that the management, the CEO, and other leadership has to cover the entire spectrum. We care at least as much, if not more, about the customer experience, understanding how they are operating today, understanding how we can actually be helpful to them. We are not building a technology nugget and going and saying that, okay, so this is very, very cool, take it and use it. We try to understand how they operate. What is a typical day for them?
Exactly.
And we try to craft our day according to how can we provide more value to them.
Right, especially in that industry. That industry is pretty tight-knit, and it's a culture, really. I mean, when people are truck drivers, this is something with lots of deep roots, and being able to uproot that is kind of scary.
And getting to know them.
And getting to know them to show that this is technology that's going to make your jobs better, more efficient, and create more work on top of that. This isn't like taking stuff away.
Right.
It's creating more opportunity.
Exactly. There's already increasing demand that industries cannot match.
You see the ads out there where they need so many drivers and they can't find them, and it's slowing things down. And now you can double that.
Is that still true, that there's huge demand?
It's increasing.
Okay.
It's increasing.
Yeah.
And
so what about like your team? How big is your team? Are you hiring?
Yes, we are hiring. The team is today 20 people.
Nice.
About to be 21.
Nice. Okay.
Mostly technical still.
Of course.
We are a very, very lean organization still.
Good.
And we are going to expand in 2020. I don't know the exact expansion
amount. Right. But the plans are to do what you want to do. You got to expand and get more people there to solve these tough problems.
So this is technical jobs?
Mostly.
And
going forward in the near term.
I'm trying to pawn Jonathan off of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime. More than happy to.
See?
We've already been talking.
He already has your resume.
Deal. Come over already.
I'm ready to go, man.
I'll be over.
We'll live together.
Exactly. Yeah. After this Audrey, I'm done. Cheating and
I'll give you a really good reference.
Okay. So we have to have a separate private conversation.
Yes, we certainly will. Off the air.
I thought it was the hell happening right now.
And so this is exciting. I mean, you're absolutely excited about this. There's no holding back. Are you
still teaching
at Carnegie Mellon?
No. Myself and most of our co-founders left Carnegie Mellon. Our chief scientist, Alonzo Kelly, who is a very brand name in robotics, he is still a professor at Robotics Institute, and we want to keep him there so that we maintain our ties, funnel to the talent of CMU.
How crazy was it to say, I'm going to leave Carnegie Mellon, where you're doing what you love, your research and solving tough problems, and saying, well, I'm going to create a company out of this. Like, that's a bold move, Gene.
I love this.
It's a very bold move.
It is. That's a little bit personal for me as well, because coming to Carnegie Mellon and being at Carnegie Mellon was my lifelong dream.
I think I'd say that, like, hey, I made it for life.
That lasted for a good decade. And then I realized that there is still more that I can actually take all the experience. I've been very fortunate to be around brilliant people, and I'm going to be eternally grateful for them.
Mm-hmm.
But it was time to take all that experience, all that expertise, put a different lens on look at a different industry, and just focus there.
Glad you did that because we're not going to create new companies and create new wealth if men and women like you aren't going to take those types of risks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
Carnegie
important.
Carnegie Mellon is extremely pro-entrepreneurship.
Oh, right.
Definitely.
So that's very, very important.
And so how do you feel now looking back? How many years has it been?
Oh, it's been exactly a year.
It's been 1 year.
1 year.
It's been 1 year.
And how do you feel 1 year?
Are you less freaked out? More freaked out?
It's a different challenge every day. Yeah. There's really no time to freak out.
We have no time to,
there's no time to freak out.
I like it.
Every day, it's another very exciting, very challenging situation. Not in a bad way. So it's my brain is constantly on fire because I have to learn
very
new
different.
Things. Very different.
Different.
So it's been a really joyride so
are
far.
Are you raising money?
We are. I mean, in some sense, every startup is always raising. Mm-hmm. But right now, we are particularly raising our next round.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, you already have some pretty cool investors behind the company, which is impressive.
We are very, very fortunate to have wonderful.
When I see who's behind you and I see what the problems that you're solving, it's like, man, your trajectory is just so exciting to us because it's like you're solving a real problem where there's an immediate.
Do you see how he's pitching his job to you?
See, I'm doing this. See, I'm pretty good, right?
we'll have a conversation about that.
Exactly.
And so we're recruiting a lot of people from Carnegie Mellon? Any people from out of state?
Yes. Yes to both, actually. We've been, again, very fortunate to rekindle with some of our old colleagues from Carnegie Mellon in this context. And myself and my brother in particular were also fortunate to rekindle with some of our past collaborators.
Nice.
Myself and my brother were originally from Turkey.
Okay.
And we were able to get a former lab mate from our graduate study.
Nice.
Really?
That's what I'm talking about.
And now he's one of our senior engineers.
Oh, that's so very fun. Cool. Isn't it great when that
fun.
Happens?
Yes.
It really is.
I love it.
We have really an amazing team. I cannot be more grateful.
I can imagine. I can see the passion coming from you as we're talking to you. We got about a minute or so left. I mean, obviously, what else can we expect from Locomation in the coming year? What's the big thing to happen?
You will start seeing a lot of Locomation branded trucks doing a lot of cool things in the next year.
See, that's what I want to see, your trucks out there with your name on it going down the parkway.
There's a lot of cool stuff coming up. Just stay tuned. Over the next couple of months.
We want you coming back on the show for an update.
Anytime
so
you want.
We can keep track of what you guys are up to because we're just really impressed.
Have you gone to see him yet, Jonathan?
I have not. I want to check this stuff out. Like I said, I'm just so glad you got to come in the studio and talk to us about this. So that'll be next on our list of things to do. But oh my goodness, another show under our belt. I could keep talking to you for hours about this stuff, cheating. Anyhow, another Tech 5 under our belt, Audrey. I don't know what happens, but it's that time warp.
It was a great wrap up.
I know. Good stuff.
We're going to watch them.
Oh, without a doubt.
I think they're on to big stuff.
Oh, I know they're on to big stuff. Are you kidding me, man? It's just as simple as that. Hey, anyhow, this is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
With the Pittsburgh Technology Council. And one last final reminder, next week is Tech 50. It's a-coming. And it's exciting.
It is.
And it's a big night in tech. So I don't know if there's any tickets available yet or not, but go to our website, pghtech.org, and you can find out because, holy heck, man, it's our 23rd one. I haven't missed one yet. I don't plan on missing this one
either. Can you believe that? He's been to 23 of them.
Good times. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Tech Vibe. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And Audrey Russo.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.